ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्री विष्णु सहस्रनाम नेम 630. Within Vishnu Sahasranama, several names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which are very well known, such as Krishna, Govinda, Madhava, Narayana, Vishnu, Vishnu Sahasranama. The name on which I speak now, name 630, according to this edition or analysis of Vishnu Sahasranama, is a name which is not only not very well known, but also, if you say the name, it'll be not very easy to understand. In this is actually verse 67. So in this verse, there are other names also. Bhushan, everyone can understand the meaning, at least if you understand an Indian language, including Tamil, it seems. By the way, you're shaking your heads. Bhushana, anyway, what's the translation in Tamil? Is Bhushana. It means an ornament. That's a simple meaning. And then we have in this verse also, Sarvata Chakshuhu means his eyes are everywhere. So you could, even though the name may not be very well known, but it's easy to understand the basic meaning of it. But this name 630, the name is Udirna. What does that mean? Well, I'll attempt to explain that according to the explanations of the great exalted acharyas who have meditated very deeply upon the names, forms, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has manifested within their hearts in the form of Shuddha, Divya Saraswati, to explain the meanings of these names. In other words, the commentators on Vishnu Sahasranama. So this name, Udirnaha, the acharyas commenting on this have given three basic meanings, and one of them in particular I'm going to explain in little detail. And really, the emphasis should be on the word little, because however much we glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are, after all, very little. How much can we explain? How much can we discuss? How much can we imagine? Therefore, he is atinta. He's actually beyond avang manasa gochara. He's beyond the ability of our words and to explain and our minds to conceive. But whatever little ability he has given us, mental ability, spiritual or feelings, emotional ability, we can offer at his lotus feet by glorifying him and be blessed by his mercy. His mercy is our manifest as our ability to appreciate him. So, Udirna gives the idea of coming out, issuing out, manifesting himself. A little bit we could, similar sounding name, it's not exactly the same, but you know the word Uday. Right? Have in Tamil also. What's this nonsense that Tamil's not, there's no relation with Sanskrit? Rubbish. All the words are there. Udaya means rising up. Rising up. So we have the common term Suryodaya, sunrise, Chandrodaya, moonrise, Chaitanya Chandrodaya, the rising moon of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there's some little creature there. So he who manifests himself, in the form of his various avatars. There are so many well-known avatars, this Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasingha, Vamana, Parashuram, Dasharati Ram, Ramachandra, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then Balaram, Krishna, Buddha, Kalki, the famous 10 avatars, and so many others are there. And Parashara Bhatta, the Sri Vaishnav commentator on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, he particularly links this name and the next few names with the Archa form of the Lord. In the Sri Vaishnava understanding, there are various manifestations of the Supreme Lord, in which one of them is Archa, his form as the deity. And he takes the name Udirna from Ulasitaha. Ulas. Do you not have this word also? Ulas. In Telugu you must have, because it's fully or largely based on Sanskrit. But Ulas means Ulhas is one word. But Ulas means shining, bright. Ulhas means bliss. You have Ulhasnaga, Niti, or Bombay. I don't know how much bliss is there. Well, there are devotees there, so they should have some bliss. But Ulas means shining bright. So actually, those who have the eyes to see the Supreme Lord, who can see Him in His deity form, the devotees can see. The devotees, when they see the form of the Lord, His Archa form, they don't see stone. Of course, they are different from them. They may be made from wood or jewels or metal. Pratima nohatumi sakshat Brajendra Nandan. We find in Chaitanya Charitamrita that when the one devotee was speaking to the Lord in the form of Gopal, the deity, he told him, "You are not some statue. You are directly the son of Brajendra, of Nanda Maharaj. You're directly Krishna." That story, now you have Chaitanya Charitamrita in Tamil, so you can read that very nice narration is there in the beginning of the Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, of how the deity called, one of the names in Chaitanya Charitamrita is Sakshi, witness. So he called him as a witness in a legal case. The only thing was that the deity was in Vrindavan and the legal case was going on in Vijayanagar Kingdom, which is southeast India, so it was a long way. So he said, well, he was talking with the deity and telling him, look, you have to come. He said, how am I going to go? You can walk. He said, how can I walk? I'm a deity. He said, well, you can talk to me, you can walk also. He defeated him by logic. So he manifests. The point I'm making, that the devotee sees not some statue, but actually you can see the deity is blissful. He's very happy. He's not just some statue. Sometimes we go in some temples and the deities look like statues. They look very sad. No one is loving them. No one is serving them nicely. But when deities are served very affectionately by devotees, they reciprocate, and we can see that in their faces. Even ourselves at our very neophyte level of devotion, we can see how the deities are so happy to be served. In Bengali, there's a word used, jagrata, for deities, when the deity literally means awake. So when a deity is, everyone can see and understand that this deity is not some piece of matter, but is directly the Supreme Lord, or maybe demigod deity also, who's reciprocating with the deity. So he comes out, he manifests. He can manifest himself everywhere. Some people say, well, God can't become What do you mean, deity? What is this? They say God is God is everywhere. How can you limit him in one place? But he's not limited in one place. But if he is everywhere, then certainly he can manifest himself anywhere, is it not? So, well, they'll say God is everywhere. We don't believe in your temples. Don't go to a temple. God is everywhere. If God is everywhere, he's in the temple also. But that's a specific place for worshipping him. They're different, just like I was saying. Sadhu is especially meant for glorifying Krishna. A baker is for baking bread and cakes. A gardener is for tending the garden. So in the same way, different places for different things. There's courts are for settling legal matters, and hospitals are for treating injured and sick people. And temples are places where people go to worship the Supreme Lord. You could theoretically settle a legal case anywhere, it doesn't have to be in a court, and you can treat sick people anywhere, it doesn't have to be in a hospital, but there's a specific place for that. The atmosphere is just right, the facilities are there, everyone knows where to go if hospital treatment is required. So he manifests himself through his various avatars. He manifests himself, especially in this Kali Yuga, he makes himself very easily available as his holy name, Nam Namakari Bahudha Nija Sarva Shaktis Tatrarpita Niyamita Smaranena Kalaha Itadrishita Vakipa Bhagavan Mamapi Durdaivam Idrishami Hajani Nanuraga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us appreciation of the Supreme Lord, who manifests himself in many forms, in many names. And all the names, they are none different from the Lord. They have the same potency as the Supreme Lord. His great mercy that he manifests himself in such a way. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very humbly prays that I'm so unfortunate that I have no taste for chanting your holy names. So, he manifests himself. And his form is clearly visible to the eyes of the devotee. We may say, God is everywhere, yeah? He's everywhere, sure. And we learn from Bhagavad Gita, Rasoham Apsu Kaunteya, Prabhashmi, Shashi Surya Yoho, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu, Shabda Ke Paurushang Rushu. Krishna says, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. Shabda Ke, I am the sound in ether and the ability in man. So, okay, yeah, Krishna's everywhere. The sound, you can hear the wind sound in the trees, the agati tree, which looks so drying up. There's not much rain, everything's drying up. Huh? So we can hear the sound of the wind in the trees. Okay, that's Krishna. You taste water, that's Krishna. But we can see Krishna everywhere like this, but his personal form, direct form, we can see Krishna in his deity form. This is directly Krishna, who the devotees can see. Non-devotees can't see. They'll see stone or maybe not see him at all. I've told this many times that many years ago, this must be more than 40 years ago, I was in the temple room at Bhaktivedanta Manor, Krishna's temple, just outside London in the United Kingdom. One man had been called, not a devotee, to do some work, some electrical work or something like that, something needed repairing, something like that. Nowadays, Hare Krishna. Nowadays, I don't think they'd call such people because we have so many devotees, congregational devotees who do all these things. So anyway, he was called and I asked him to take his shoes off going into the temple room, which for English people is something unusual. You'll see even they go in the church with their shoes on, and the priest is doing the mass with shoes on, which seems very strange to us. So anyway, he went in and he said, "Oh, it's so beautiful. Chandeliers, the walls," and he was praising everything. He didn't even see the deities. He was saying everything's so beautiful. Oh, the pictures and oh. But he didn't even mention, it seemed that the deities are there, very clear, but that's the whole purpose of the temple. He didn't see it at all. On the other hand, even non-devotees, if they or people without contact with Krishna consciousness, if they're somewhat pious and fortunate, they can appreciate the beauty of the deities. Another anecdote from Bhaktivedanta Manor, this was not so long ago, maybe 7-8 years ago, when I was visiting Bhaktivedanta Manor at Janmashtami time. And Janmashtami day, of course, there'll be very special Shringara and Abharana, this decoration. So my father kindly came to visit and came with his wife, my stepmother, and she was so happy to see Krishna. Oh, how beautiful. She was able to appreciate. It's a great gift to be able to appreciate the beauty of Krishna. Tapami aham maham varsham nigrinami utsrijami cha. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that I give the heat of the sun, tapami aham, and the rain I withhold it and send it. So, just he's sending some rain just now. So let's see how it goes. If it's going to be heavy rain, then we may have to shift indoors. It started raining, but how heavy is it going to be? Huh? Okay, so we'll move indoors. Okay, give that. Actually, I can just go. Can just go here. Right? Oh, I forgot about that. Ah, put that there. Mm-hmm. You have to hope you need electricity supply, is it? For this, you don't have a battery backup?
Yeah.
Let's hope it stays.
I mean, for live, I need. Yeah. Otherwise.
Okay, well, we're going to lose our viewers. You can send them a WhatsApp message. We're back. That BVK Sangha is sending very late. Seems a lot of people won't check their email that often. Just came up at midday. Okay, as soon as you can get, even if I'm not ready, get this. Oh, it's long overdue, the rain. It's been a long time since there's any rain. Uskopi? Chala? Choti light? Oh, I may not need this, you know. Hey, can you put it there so it doesn't get so wet? Oh, suddenly, good rain. That's required. Bahut din ke baad, achhi barish ho rahi hai. Uska zarurat hai sabudana ke liye. बारिश का मौसम का शुरू होगा नहीं? हो गया, यही शुरुआत है क्या? So, you're online again? Tell me as soon as you get it, and I'll continue talking. Kagaj? So, continue. Okay. So, another meaning of the name Udirna is he who is superior to all beings, who is above all beings. And another meaning is he who elevates devotees to his own level. Now that's maybe a difficult thing to understand, and some religionists will object to that, that how can anyone be on the level of God? Well, it's true, no one can be on his level, that's why he is God, the Bhagavan. But out of his kindness for exchange of love, he may bring devotees to his own level or even higher level. As Srila Prabhupada said, some people want to become one with God or equal to God. But the devotee becomes more than God in as much as he takes the role of a child, as if he has to be maintained by his parents. Therefore he has names like Yashoda Nandana, Nanda Nandana, Devaki Sutta, Vasudeva. So these are various names of the Supreme Lord, in which he accepts a role as even apparently subordinate to his devotees. So the example that Srila Prabhupada often gave is that the father likes to see the son come up in the world and come to his own, to be a worthy son, to come to his own level or more. Just like a father may have a business and he may train his son in the business, and he'll be happy to see his, minimally he wants the son to maintain the business, and he'll be very happy if the son, having imbibed the business techniques from himself, can increase the business more and more. So the father is happy to see the son come up to his own level. So in the same way, the Supreme Lord likes to see his devotees come to his own level. And that is a great teaching of the Vaishnavas, those who worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Vishnu, Krishna, the understanding that we can live directly, personally, with the Supreme Lord in a blissful, personal, loving relationship. So he raises the devotees to his own level. He says, come up, come up, come, be with me, live with me, eat with me, sleep with me, dance with me, fight with me. In play, the devotees of Krishna, they may fight with him. This is his mercy. Now I'm going to get back to that other meaning, that he is superior to all living beings. Well, that is a that's the very meaning of God, isn't it? That he is superior to all living beings. So that's practically axiomatic or definitional He's superior to all living beings. But let us consider this somewhat. As Srila Prabhupada used to say, it's not enough to say that God is great. But we really need to know how God is great. Otherwise, we may say that such and such a sports player is great. I'll tell another anecdote from my own life. On a train somewhere in South India, I can't remember exactly where it was. This is, I don't know, 20 years ago or something. And there were some young men there, some from in the same compartment, some from India and some from Pakistan. The Pakistani are huge guys, they look like Pathans. So when Pakistanis and Indian young men get together, what do they discuss? Three guesses. Cricket. And that was the time when Imran Khan was at the height of his career. You've probably all heard his name. Is it? Heard the name? Maitreya, you've never heard the name of Imran Khan. Your life is blessed. Anyway, he was maybe the world's greatest cricketer at that time, and even I knew, although I have no interest in cricket, because you can't live in India and not know something about cricket. It's almost in the air. So they were just, and the Pakistanis, because Imran Khan is from Pakistan, and they were speaking in Hindi, Urdu, like this, and the Pakistanis were saying, "He is a superman." I thought that's getting a little dangerous for a Muslim to say something like that, because there are the way that they weren't talking about Allah is great. They were talking about how Imran Khan is great. I thought it's getting dangerous for a Muslim, because they're practically, the way they were praising him, in Islam you're only supposed to praise or worship Allah, not even Muhammad. Muhammadan Rasulullah, he's the Rasul, he's the Prophet, but only one is to be worshipped is Allah. But there was so much praising. Oh, he's a superman. They kept using the word superman. So undoubtedly, he was at that time great in playing cricket, no doubt. And in that sense, he was much greater than you, me, or anyone in the train carriage, or anyone else in the world, maybe, at cricket, whatever he was doing, bowling or batting or whatever. Huh? Bowling. He was a great bowler. Huh? He was an all-rounder. Okay. Don't have a fight now. But that doesn't make him God. The qualities of Bhagawan are far, far, far greater than any human. Not only that, but his qualities are always great. It's like Imran Khan is no longer a great cricketer. He's too old now, I guess. But Krishna, was great, is great, and will be great. So in so many ways he's great. Now let's analyze this then. What does it mean to be God? When we say God is great, what does it mean? Imran Khan is great, or was great in cricket. Maybe he's great in something else now. But the level, he means he's above everyone else, or was above everyone else in playing cricket. But the level on which Krishna is above us is far, 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 far greater than we can imagine, which is another of his great glories, that he does raise devotees to his own level. He does not only allow them, but invites them and takes pleasure in their coming up and being with him and living with him and dancing with him and playing with him and feeding him and chastising him. These are the mysteries which can be understood by the intimate devotees of the Supreme Lord. He himself is very high, but he wants to lift everyone else up. Now, let's just try to understand a little bit, as we have understood from the great acharyas, the great teachers, about how great is the Supreme Lord. He's elevated above everyone, who's superior to all beings. Matah parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya, Krishna says in Bhagavad. Dhananjaya, he tells Arjuna, you are the conqueror of wealth, but I own all the wealth. He is superior in all respects. No one is equal to him. No one is above him. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in size, he's the greatest, he's the biggest. He pervades everything. He's everywhere. He's also the smallest. He's the great form, Mahavishnu, out of whose body come the universes, out of the pores, skin pores. The universes come out in seed form. And then also, he's the smallest. He's in the heart of every living being, in every atom, everywhere. Anor aniyan mahato mahiyan. He's smaller than the smallest and bigger than the biggest. It means he's the biggest and also the smallest, because he's the greatest. So he can even be the great, an expansive way and macro way and micro way also. Then power, no one more powerful than him. There's a minor storm here now, looks like it's blown over. Maybe it'll come more again. Just a few years ago I was here, there's a tremendous storm. Just none of you were here at that time. Just tremendous storm, just really devastating. I hadn't seen anything like that. Went on for almost 1 hour, extremely heavy rain. The pathways and the field, they're all turned into rapidly flowing rivers. I hadn't seen anything like that since I was living in Bengal in the 1980s, where regularly there are cyclonic storms. So when you get some, when you're in such a storm, you have some little idea of the power of nature. But that's only a tiny fraction of the power of the Supreme Powerful. We become impressed, and we can become oppressed also by such displays of the power of nature. But we should always remember that Krishna, he creates, maintains, and destroys all the universes with just a fraction of his energy. Yad yad vibhuti mat sarvam srimad urjita nevava tat tat eva avagachatong Mama Tejong Sasambhavam. You know this verse? Krishna says that all the opulences of all the planets and all the universes, they created, maintained, and destroyed with just a tiny spark, a little fraction of Krishna's potencies. This is the Supreme Lord. So that's one aspect of his power and his greatness. Another, which, of course, all these points are discussed in Vishnu Sahasranam. Another is that all of us here, we're engaged in serious practice of spiritual life, which yoga, which begins yoga indriya samyamya, controlling the senses. That is also one power if one can control the senses. But naturally, he has all the senses under control, and even he controls our senses. His name in this regard is Hrishikesha, the controller of the senses. So in love, he's the greatest lover. He has, sometimes people are surprised when they hear Krishna has 16,108 wives. But he has unlimited millions, billions, trillions, zillions, there's nothing can say, infinite number of devotees. And he loves them all. And his love is, even for one, is unlimited. So if you multiply unlimited by unlimited, he has unlimited love for an unlimited number of beings. How great is he? His knowledge is unlimited. He knows everything, past, present, and future. So everywhere we see, he is great. God is great. Another way God is great, I'll just read from a lecture given by Srila Prabhupada, the transcript of a lecture, in which he is, oh, it's actually from an evening darshan. So I'll just read this. When Srila Prabhupada quotes the verse, Kshetra jam chapi mang vidhi sarva kshetra yushu bharata kshetra kshetra gyayo jnanam yattaj jnanam matang mama. He says, Krishna says, Srila Prabhupada's speaking from Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna says, O scion of Bharata, scion of Bharat, you should understand, Bharat means the in the dynasty of Bharat. You should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies, and to understand this body and its owner is called knowledge. That is my opinion. So Srila Prabhupada says, that is greatness. This is the distinction. God is great. Because this chapter 13 of Bhagavad Gita, the kshetra gyaya jnana, it discusses the field and the knower of the field. So we are all knowers of our own bodies, but Krishna knows all bodies. So Srila Prabhupada says, this is the distinction. God is great. I know about my body, you know about your body, but God knows about your body and my body and his body and every body. That is greatness. That is explained. That is the distinction. I am small, he is great. Yeah. Just a very simple thing to understand. I am small, he is great. I cannot think beyond the scope of this body, or a little more. But he knows everything. And then Srila Prabhupada quoted, Vedaham samatitani. That full verse is there in Bhagavad Gita. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjana. Bhavishyani cha bhutani mangtu vedana kaschana. Krishna says that I know everything past, present, and future, but me, no one knows. And Srila Prabhupada said, that is his greatness. So, in this way, if we study the greatness of God, then we can understand what is God and what is not God. There's so much confusion in the area of understanding God in this land of Bharata at the present time. Because claimed to be God, just like this Sai Baba, who's not God. Why can people say he's God? Because they don't know what is the meaning of God. Therefore, they make such a serious mistake. So, continuing what Srila Prabhupada says, Kshetragyam cha. Cha means also. There are two, individual Kshetragya, and the collective, Kshetragyam cha. There is Kshetragya, I am also there. They are two, not one. Kshetragyam chapi, cha api. Kshetragyam chapi mangvedhi. As soon as there is cha and, there are two, not one. One is subordinate and one is supreme. Now this is in relation to the understanding that within the heart of every living being, there is the jivatma and the paramatma. There are two, not one. Two, just like two birds on a tree. So one is subordinate and one is supreme. Therefore, he has addressed Param Brahma. Brahma. The Jiva is also Brahma. This is technical points. But he is Param Brahma. Param Brahma. Paramatma. The Jiva is also Atma. But he is Paramatma. Parameshvara. The Jiva is also Ishvara. He's a controller, but he, Krishna, is Parameshwara. Ishvara Parama Krishna. This is the Vedic version. There are many controllers, but the supreme controller, Parameshwara, is Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satidananda Vigraha. Anadir Adir Govinda Sarava Karana Karanam. Krishna is known as Govinda. He is the supreme Godhead. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, and he is the prime cause of all causes. And then Srila Prabhupada went on to quote from Bhagavad Gita, Aham Adir Hi Devanam, that he is the origin of all the devas, the demigods. So there are so many demigods. They are great, but nothing nearly as great as he is. I'll give some examples here now. We have in Bhagavad Gita also, Mriganam Chamragendroham, among the animals, and the king of the animals, namely the lion. So the lion is known as the king of the animals, right? Maybe at some time in the past there may have been lions wandering around this area also. Long time ago. Tigers were quite common in India until fairly recently. And probably there are still leopards in these hills around here, is it? Mm. Leopard. Cheetahs? Leopards, black leopards. Yeah. Occasionally you see them in these hilly areas.
Deep in the jungle.
Yeah, I've seen also. But the lion is the king of the animals. But then the tiger isn't far behind, right? The tiger is also very powerful, very fearsome. And although the lion is known as the king of the animals, you might think the elephant is the king of the animals, because the elephant is very strong, big, much bigger than a lion. But generally, if we see all these temples, traditional old temples in Tamil Nadu, we'll see, sometimes you see on the outside, there's the sculpture of the lion and the singer and the yani. They're fighting. And generally in a fight between the lion and the elephant, the lion will win. But not always. Sometimes the elephant kills the lion also. In some ways, the cow is the best animal. Although the lion is known as the king, but the horse is very beautiful also. So they all have their various qualities. So, in other words, the lion is the king of the animals, but he's a little bit above, but others may not be so far behind. The mango is said to be the king of the fruits, Mambalam. I know that word because in Chennai you have West Mambalam. Our temple used to be there, so I learned that word. But the chiku is said to be Krishna's favorite. And then many mangoes are sour also, just like we have the mango tree here. And the whole tree, the fruits, they're not so sweet. So this mango, the mangoes from this tree, they're not so sweet. There's a fruit called the durian. If you go to Thailand, China they have? South China, probably.
Canton
in China. In Malaysia, Singapore, probably in Indonesia, I've never been there. Durian. Sri Lanka, yeah, that's right, yeah, I've seen that. It looks something like a jackfruit. Panasam. Panasam is the Sanskrit word. But generally, you don't see it so much as you smell it. It's a very strong smell. And during the season, you'll find in hotels, I mean, I'm talking about luxury hotels where people pay far too much money to spend a night there. They'll have a sign on the door, no durian allowed. Have you seen? They put signs like that. Because if you just bring one durian inside, the whole area will smell. But people love it. They think it's great. And others, like myself, if you just smell it, you want to go away. It smells horrible. But some people think durian is the best fruit. And in making notes for this talk, I just it just popped in my mind. Many years ago in Bangladesh, I remember I was taking one papaya, and you don't usually think the papaya is the king of the fruits. It's okay, it's nice, but I remember thinking, oh, this is so nice, this is better than mango. So you may get sometimes one papaya or some other fruit which is some particular one which tastes very good. So in other words, the mango is the king of fruits, but it's has some competition also. What is the best flower? Okay, what do you think is the best flower? Lotus is the best flower, yeah. It's a very nice scent, huh? Lotus? No scent. Looks nice.
No,
but no scent. In terms of scent, what's the best? It's difficult to... Kadamba? Not much scent. Champa is very good scent. Champa. What about the Mogra?
Mogra is a
very good scent.
Mali,
and rose. Rose is very nice scent. Can be very nice scent. Rosa. And then you get the Radhki Rani. Rajanigandha, it's called in Bengali. In your language also? Rajanigandha. It's exactly Sanskrit. It means night smell. And Radhki Rani is Hindi, queen of the night. It's very difficult to say, actually, which is the best of all. They're all very, in terms of smell, they're all very beautiful. And although the Rajanigandha doesn't, there's nothing much to see, but the smell is superb, is it not? But this Mogra, Champak, they look nice also. But then when you pluck the Champak, in a short time it becomes faded. So there are pros and cons. This Gandharaja, what's that called? That's the Bengali Sanskrit name. Gardenia, what's the name in Hindi? It's a white flower, has a very strong smell. I just can't remember.
Chameli.
No. It's completely different from chameli. I can't remember. It lasts quite some time also. It also begins with G, but I just can't remember the name. Anyway. Huh? Huh?
No, not
white flower comes on a bush. Anyway, it's called Gandharaj, king of smells in Bengali. It's very... very, very nice smell. So which is the king? Which is the best? Very difficult to say, eh? Could be a subject of much discussion. Well, there's one flower which Krishna fought to bring from the heavenly planets, Parijat. So we get Parijat here also, on this planet, but you have just in front there, yeah. And now is the season, for Parijat. If you can collect the flowers as they fall down. But clearly it's not on the level of the Parijat of the heavenly planets. So, one point I wanted to make that, the rose, in English there's a saying that a rose would smell as sweet by any other name, but some roses don't smell, especially nowadays. They grow it, what do they call it, hype? It's somewhere they grow it out of water and there's no smell. In the West you can get no smell, rose with no smell. And the rose has... every rose, another English saying, every rose has a thorn. So the thorn is there also. One other thought. In South India, that's a tradition still going on, and like other all good traditions, that's getting lost, is that the women, they wear scented flowers in their hair. And even the very poor women, they may not, but they can have this heavenly flower. So let's talk about the Parijat. That's described in Sri Harivamsa. It's given in some detail the glories of this flower. We can discuss that. I think, why are we going to discuss about a flower so much? Well, it's just like we find in the Bhagavatam list of trees and flowers the gopis are looking at and calling out. That, have you seen Krishna? In Sri Ramayana, there's one whole chapter of Rama and Sita. They are in the forest, and Rama is pointing out to Sita because he had experience in the forest already. Before he won the hand of Sita, he was taken through the forest by Vishvamitra. So he learned all, although he's a city boy, he had some experience in the forest. So he was appreciating and he's pointing out all the flora and fauna of the forest. So these are, we can discuss this with the understanding that these give great pleasure to Krishna. So what is it about this Parijat in the heavenly planets that the demigods, they fought with Krishna to take away, and Satyabhama, she wanted that. Krishna brought that whole tree for her. So that's described. The quality of the heavenly Parijata flower is that, remember Rukmini was just given one flower. One flower. The quality of one flower is that for one whole year it will remain fresh. And it will, not only fresh, but it will have a wonderful fragrance. Not only the fragrance is wonderful, but it will vary according to your desire. It becomes warm or cool according to the season. How about that? It becomes warm in the winter and cool in the summer. Cools you down in the summer. And whatever nectarian juice that you want will supply. So it has the quality of the kalpataru, the wish-fulfilling tree, just one flower. Simply by having this flower, you'll get all good fortune. Just by having this. And it automatically, whatever pleasure one experiences within one's mind, if one has this Parijata flower, that pleasure will become enhanced. So it's the king of all flowers. And if you like any other flowers, the Parijata will supply. Heavenly Parijata. It gives opulence. And this is Narada speaking to Rukmini, and it will give good sons. Nowadays, women don't want to have children. They think it's too much trouble. But in the normal course of event, women, they like to have children, especially good sons. And if a person keeps this flower always with him, it will not allow the mind to become polluted by sinful thoughts. So it's very purifying to the consciousness also. The flower can transform itself into any other flower that one desires. It can become big or small, light or heavy. It removes all bad odors and enhances the sweet odor of the atmosphere. And at night it becomes just like a lamp. How about that? You can have, at night you can just carry this flower and find your way. Just if you desire it, this flower will immediately provide a garland of rare santana flowers, or any other wonderful garland of flowers, or celestial garments, or beautiful flower decorations. By wearing this one flower, one will never be afflicted by hunger, thirst, old age, or fatigue. All of these obstacles will be under one's control. And, didn't finish yet, there's more to say about this Parijata. We can see why it's a big thing that Krishna brought that for Satyabhama. It's a big thing. If we think about the Parijata flower, we have now say, well, What's the big thing? But this heavenly flower is in a different category. So this Parijata flower will also play one's favorite music, as enjoined in the scriptures dealing with the arts. Favorite music doesn't mean all this cinema music, or, but according to the Sangeeta Shastra, the Shastra that describes music. But at the end of 1 year, this flower goes away, goes back to the tree from which it came. Brahma made this flower with such potency just for the pleasure of the demigods, which is one of the reasons why the demons always envy the demigods. Because the demons in the lower planetary systems, they also have much opulence, but there are certain things that the demigods have which the demons do not have. The chaste wife of Lord Shiva, her name is not given here, but you all know who she is. And he is the master of the demigods, but she always wears this flower. Somewhere on her worshipable body, she will wear this. Then Aditi, the mother of the demigods, Shachi, the wife of Indra, Savitri, Lakshmi, the wives of all the demigods, the principal demigods, and the principal demigods themselves, and the Vasus, they all decorate with this flower, they keep one for 1 year also. So, the Parijata is above all the flowers, but still some limit, 1 year only. So, we don't find anything in this world which is completely above everything else, which is eternally above everything else, and which is perfect in all respects. But Krishna is above everyone and everything eternally, and is perfect in all respects. So I just gave these examples. The lion is the king of the animals, but there are so many beautiful flowers, but there's no but with Krishna. He's always, in all respects, superior to everyone else. He's not slightly above everyone else. There is no competition. And therefore this name, Udirnaha, that parallels names which have already come in Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, as well as some as which are still to come. Anuttama, above whom there is none other. Purushattama, not Purushottama, Purushattama. There's another name in Vishnu Sahasranam. The name is very similar meaning. Shrestha, very clearly you can understand, means the best. Vishishta, full of all specialty, special. Atul, incomparable. Eka, the one. Naika, there's no other one like him. So all these names are in Vishnu Sahasranam. Toward the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva summarizes some of the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yang Brahma, Varunendra, Rudra, Maritastunvanti, Divyai, Stavair, Vedai, Sangha, Padakrama, Upanishadair, Gayanti, Yang Samagaha, Dhyana, Vastita, Tadgatena, Manasa, Pashyanti, Yam Yogino, Yasyanta, Navidu, Sura, Suragana, Devaya, Tasmai, Namaha. Offering respect to the Supreme Lord, who is praised in transcendental hymns by Brahma, Varuna, Indra, Rudra, Marad, the wind gods. They all glorify him with divine prayers. All the Vedas glorify him, the Vedas with their corollary scriptures. The Upanishads, the Samavedas especially, beautiful hymns for glorifying the Supreme Lord. That person whom the yogis in their meditation meditate upon, who is the goal of the yogis, who they see in their heart of hearts, whose the limits of his glories, neither the great demigods, nor even the demons can even come anywhere close to, that is the person who we glorify. That's a very general description of the Supreme Lord. And practically all the Vedas, they're all full of glorification of the Supreme Lord. I'll just read a little bit from Sri Ramayana of how at the time of the marriage of Rama, we can't say the marriage of Krishna because he had many marriages, but Rama had only one marriage. So Vasishtha, the great Rishi Vasishtha, who is the guru of the Surya Vanshi Kshatriyas, in which Raghava, Rama, he appeared, Raghu Vansha. So he glorified how Rama is superior to all. He said that, praising Raghava, Ramachandra, all these qualities are found in him. Love of virtue means dharma, pleasing speech, an ardent desire for performing acts of charity. In other words, he doesn't just do charity, but he's very eager to perform charity. Guileless dealings with friends. Straightforward. Akapat. Humility in the Guru's presence. Deep tranquility of mind. That was seen when he was told, now you have to go to the forest. Didn't affect him at all. It affected everyone else, but not Rama. Completely tranquil in his mind. Pure conduct. Discernment of virtues. In other words, able to understand what is virtuousness and what is not. Realized knowledge of the scripture. Beauty of form and devotion to God. He is God himself. They're all found in Rama. And then comparing Rama to other great manifestations as seen in this world. The desire tree, Kalpataru. The Vasishtha said. After all, it's wood. The golden Mount Meru is motionless. So, in other words, they have very great qualities, but they have some drawbacks also. The Chintamani, wish-fulfilling gem, after all, it's a stone. The sun is very powerful, but it's very scorching also, too scorching. The moon is prone to wane. The ocean is so great and boundless, but after all, it's salty. Unpleasant flavor there for us. Then the God of love, he lost his body, Ananga. And Bali Maharaj, even though he's such a great personality, after all, he was born in a clan of demons. And the Kamadhenu, the cow of heaven, is after all an animal. So in this way, Vasishtha is saying, therefore I cannot compare you to any one of these. In other words, he's much better than all of them. So he is the best, undoubtedly. He does everything the best. There's a song that in the English language, going back a long way, long time, that means maybe 60, 70 years ago, in which anything you can do, I can do better. You've heard that? You're nodding your head as if you're... No. Anything you can do, I can do better. And the song goes on and on. There's a man singing and the woman singing. And I can sing higher than you, I can sing lower than you, I can do this, I can do that, and they're going on and on. So the whole competition is there to try to show I am better than you. Anything, can anyone in this world say that anything that someone else can do, I can do better than them? Now that Imran Khan, you could say he could throw a ball in cricket better than others. Okay. But he probably couldn't make chapatis as well as his mother. Presumably, Pakistan is chapati country. So he couldn't do better. And he wouldn't, I presume he wouldn't be so foolish as to say that, even to claim that he could do. He was great in one respect, but not in other respects. But this, the madness of the materialist, he desires to show himself better in all respects, but that's only possible for Krishna. Now, another feature of the insane Western world is there are different movements to try to, well, white supremacist movement, someone wants to show white people, people with white skin, they are supreme. And then in response to that, in America, there are black supremacist movement. No, black people are supreme. And they try to show in so many ways that they're supreme. But if they're actually supreme, they wouldn't have to say. Right? It would be obvious. Should be obvious to everyone. So it may be that a majority of white people are better than a majority of black people in some things, and vice versa. That may be even taken as a racist statement, but we can't say that all white people are better than all black people in all respects, or all black people are better than all white people. And anyway, we're all very, very, very small living beings. But Krishna is supreme, uncontestably, indisputably, effortlessly. You may say, well, why does he preach it? Because we're such fools that we don't recognize it. Otherwise there should be no need. That's why in Vrindavan no one's preaching Krishna's supreme. It's understood. He's the supreme lover. You may say, well, many people don't believe in that. Well, that's their misfortune. And they get to find out how he's supreme. Mrityu sarvaharashchaham. He comes in the form of death and takes everything away. So people may deny God, but for people who deny God, he comes to them in the form of death. So he's so high, but he wants to raise us up to his level. There's two meanings of the name Udirna. He's highest of all, is one meaning. Another meaning, he raises himself, he wants to raise us to his level. Then another meaning, he manifests himself in various forms. So let us consider how merciful he is. He appears within this world, even though he is the supreme. He appears among us who are very fallen to lift us up. So in this way we find three names or three meanings of the name. They come in one understanding. Patita pavana gaura hari bhaja 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 bhaire, we say. That he's patita pavana, he's the purifier of the fallen. Patita Udharana, he's the lifter, uplifter of the fallen. Even though we are very fallen and low in this material world, we get hope and inspiration that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to save us. Narottama Das says, Mosama Patita Prabhu na paibeya. You won't find anyone more fallen than me. So we have hope, even if we are very fallen and low. He wants to lift us up. Another manifestation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great mercy. He sent Srila Prabhupada really among the most fallen. Srila Prabhupada in America, he was in the worst place in the whole of America among drunkards and really down and out people. And then Srila Prabhupada didn't neglect even the drunkards. He said they can also become Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada cited, Rasoham apsukanteya, I am the taste of water. So Srila Prabhupada said these people, they're addicted to drinking wine. If at the time of drinking wine they think this taste is Krishna, then one day they'll be a very great devotee. So there's a means for everyone to come up. He's so merciful. He wants to lift us up. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Radha, Krishna, Nahayana. He's Krishna, who is naturally very kind, but he's joined together Radha and Krishna. Radha, the most compassionate, has come, Krishna and Radha together, with their great love to lift us up. So always remember, we can be lifted up. Why are we so low? Because we're thinking we're so high. We don't understand how great He is and how insignificant we are in relation to Him and how much He loves us to want to lift us up. So, He comes to lift us, but we simply have to agree to be lifted. If we think, well, I'm so great, I don't need anyone to. I'm such a great devotee. That this foolishness of thinking means we won't be lifted up. Then we are held down by our own foolishness. We can remember the example of Arjuna. We may think, oh, why? I'm a great devotee. Why am I just given some service like cutting vegetables? And we may think, but look what Arjuna had to do. He had to cut people into pieces for Krishna. That's a great challenge. We may think, I want to be a great devotee, but there are great challenges. We're ready to take that. We're willing to surrender in all respects. Let us hear about how great Krishna is. Baladev Vidyabhushan, our great Gaudiya commentator on Vishnu Sahasranama, he gives the meaning of this name, Udirna, as Lord Krishna's transcendental glories are chanted throughout the Vedic literature. Vede cha. What is that? Vede Ramayane chaiva Purane Bharate tata Adav ante jamadde cha Hari sarvatra giyate. In all the Vedas, Ramayana, Mahabharata, Upanishads, all the literature, beginning, middle, and end, Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Vishnu, is glorified. Hare Krishna. Ramanandri. Mekanandri. Sometimes they say. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Sampurnam. Is it? No, never Sampurnam. Can never finish chanting the glory. But at least this little talk is finished. Samapam. That's another way of saying when the talk is finished. Samapti.